Shmuel Beis. We're going to learn Perek Vav today, but first we'll just finish up Perek Hei. Shmuel Beis Perek Hei. David was anointed the king, and the Plishtim gathered and they went to war. Pasuk Yizayin had said, Vayalu kol Plishtim. All of the Plishtim went up Levakish as David to seek David and to kill him, to attack. And the Plishtim camped in this Emek Rephaim, the valley right outside of Yerushalayim. And in Pasuk Yotes, David asked Hashem, should he go up and fight the Plishtim? And Hashem said, Alei, go up, and the Plishtim will be given into your hands. And sure enough, David defeated them in that place, and he named the place Baal Perotzim, because this was the place where Hashem made a breach in the enemy, and Klal Yisrael were victorious. The Plishtim abandoned their idols, and they went running, and the Yidden either burnt them or carried them away, we discussed. Pasuk Chof Beis. By Yosifu Od Plishtim, the Plishtim continued, again, Lalos to go up. They felt that they couldn't accept defeat. From the times, we already learned from the times when they first captured the Arun, when Shiloh was destroyed. At the beginning, very beginning of Shmuel, they said, Plishtim, you have to be warriors, because if not, if we lose to the Jews, we'll be subservient. We have to be the ones, be men, and win the battle. So the Plishtim came again to fight. Vayinotshu be'emek Rephaim, and again they spread out in the same valley, the Emek Rephaim, which was right near Yerushalayim. This time it doesn't say there were all the Plishtim. In Pasuk Yudzayin it said, Vayalu kol Plishtim, all the Plishtim went up after David. Here it was, Vayosifu od Plishtim lalos, the Plishtim again went up to do war. It seems to be an easier battle. Perhaps out of desperation they felt they had to fight. But it seems like it would be obvious that Klal Yisrael would win. Vayishal David Bashem. But Hashem again, David again asked. He didn't take it for granted. He again asked Hashem, saying, what should he do? Vayomer, and the answer was, Lo Sala, do not go up and attack the Plishtim. Do not try a frontal assault. Hosev al acharehem, go around to the back of the Plishtim, uvosalehem mimul b'choim, and you'll approach them from opposite the b'choim. Some learn it was mulberry trees. Approach them from the area where these trees are, when you hear the sound of like stepping, footsteps, on the top of the trees, then you should give a shout, at that point you know Hashem is going before you, to strike the camp of the Plishtim. It would have seemed obvious that David could win this battle. And yet he asked, and the answer was, don't attack the Plishtim in the regular manner. Go around the back, and then there's going to be a miracle. There's going to be a malach, the angel of Hashem is going to go ahead, and you'll hear sounds of footsteps on the trees. And when that happens, you'll know that Hashem has struck the battle of the Plishtim. And then you can give a shout and attack, but basically the battle's won already. You'll know that Hashem has already struck the machni of the Plishtim. The question is why now this was necessary. Before, David had won the battle without a miracle. And all of a sudden now Hashem is telling David, there'll be a miracle and then you should attack. Some learned that this was the way the mazel was, or the way things were worked out, the Plishtim would ordinarily have won. That's the way the certain cheshbonos and certain things we don't understand in the different, every nation has a malach in Shemayim, and different things happen that determine which nation should defeat another one. And the first day, David was able to conquer them. But for whatever reason, in this battle, David would not have won. And it required a miracle. But when Hashem does a miracle, the general hashkafa, the general approach is to minimize the miracle. Hashem doesn't ordinarily just display grandiose miracles. If you think through the stories, that we know in Tanakh. Or he recently had the story with Elisha, and he told the woman to keep pouring the oil. But it wasn't like out of nowhere oil came. No, she had a jug of oil, and she kept pouring it, and constantly it just seemed to always be full. Or, the Ramban mentions, by Noach. Noach was told to build a tremendously large teva, but there was no way that it could have fit all the species. So once it's a miracle, why bother going through the effort of building such a large teva if it's miraculous anyways to fit all the animals and all the food for a year in the teva? How's that? That's not possible. But even though Hashem does a miracle, we have to do whatever we can do. Hashem prefers, everyone has to, we do as much as possible and the nace is minimized, and then Hashem allows the nace to transpire. See, here also, a malach was going to come and defeat the plishtim. But David HaMalach was told to do it in a form of a strategy, as if he's going around the back, and he'll do whatever he can do, and then he'll attack the plishtim when he hears the sound of the malach, and it'll look almost as if it's a normal military battle. In fact, some learned that it was done, the sound at the top of the bushes was to, the plishtim would be scared, because they would hear that there's some hidden power, some force. They hear there's like footsteps. They would also hear the footsteps on the top of the trees. That would help scare the plishtim. And other mafarshim say the opposite, that the plishtim would hear the sound of the soldiers and hear the noise, and they would figure it's the wind rustling through the trees. And they would hear the, and they would just ignore it, and then Klal Yisrael would attack. And perhaps the other Mephoshim will learn that they came around the back because Plishtim would be expecting Klal Yisrael to follow yesterday's victorious strategy. So today they needed a new approach. So there are many ways of understanding the exactly what happened. But David was told to go around, and then when he hears the sound, the cold sa'adah, the sound of the footsteps at the top of these trees, they should give a shout and attack. Vayas David came. David did so, kashir tzivo Hashem as Hashem commanded him. It's a double, it's almost redundant to stress David did this as Hashem commanded. Because Shaul had a similar test. And Shaul was told when he fought against the Plishtim to wait till Shmuel Hanavi comes and he'll bring a carbon first. And Shaul was there and he saw the Plishtim in front of him and his army felt that their leader was doing nothing. They couldn't. The Shaul's waiting and waiting and waiting. He's waiting for Shmuel. He's the king. He should attack. And his men were deserting him. So Shaul felt, he waited, and finally he attacked. David was given the same test to show the difference that in this area, David excelled. And even though it didn't seem to make sense, possibly, that he should wait, he was told to wait, and he waited. And all the men were probably wondering, why is David not taking action? But Vayas David came, David did this, Kashir Tzivo Hashem, as Hashem commanded him, Vayachas Plishtim, and he struck the Plishtim, Migeva ad Boach HaGozer, from the place Geva, till the road that approaches Gozer, and that whole area he defeated, he routed the Plishtim. Perek Vov. Vayosef O David. David continued further as called Bochur B'Yisrael. Again he gathered all the Bochur B'Yisrael. The simple meaning is the young ones, the vigorous, the energetic ones, the Bochrim, Shloshim, all of 30,000. David had just captured Yerushalayim. He was the king and he had captured Yerushalayim, we discussed, which was the area in between Shevet Yehuda and Binyamin. He was combining the Malchus of Klal Yisrael. This was the place where HaKadosh Baruch Hu would rest the Shekhinah. And the Plishtim came to attack. But David's first order of business, as soon as he had the opportunity, he wanted to bring the Aron to Yerushalayim. And they had gathered together to make him the king. But now, Vayosef O David, David again gathered Klal Yisrael, that's called Bochur B'Yisrael Shloshim Aleph, he gathered 30,000. Could be he gathered 30,000. This was supposed to be a joyous celebration. There was going to be a lot of dancing, a lot of vigorous excitement over celebrating with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So he got the young ones who were able to dance. Abarbanel also mentions, could be he figured the Plishtim would attack again, and therefore he had to make sure he had 30,000 Bochrim who would be able to fight, that even though it's a celebration, Klal Yisrael should not be defenseless. So he gathered together these 30,000 to bring up the Arun. However, Chazal learned that these 33 Bochur, is the meaning of Bochur here, means chosen. These were Zakenim, these were the greatest Chachamim of the generation. And he gathered 30,000. And in Divrei Hayamim, it discusses in more detail how they gathered from all the cities and all the Shvatim, and it discusses how many representatives came from this Shevet, and how many came from that Shevet, and those that came with weapons, or exactly how they came to celebrate this momentous event. Chazal mentioned there were 90,000 Zakenim, actually. Could be there were 30,000, but if they came as a Bezdin, as a group of three, there were 30,000, and every one of them had two others with him, so it was actually a triple number. It was 90,000. Could be it was 30,000, and by Yosef he added, and Oid, even more than that he added, again he added. So there was a tremendous crowd of people who were select, who were chosen to celebrate. And we'll see later on, initially it ended in tragedy. And in Divrei Hayomim, David HaMelech is going to use the phrase, he's going to say, Kilo derashnuhu kamishpat. We didn't seek out HaKadosh Baruch Hu the way we should have. We didn't prepare properly for this event. And it's important to notice that even though David took the blame for it, and he said Klal Yisrael didn't seek out HaKadosh Baruch Hu properly, and that obviously was the case from the very fact we'll see it ended that Uzzah died, but on the other hand, this was all on the level of David HaMelech, and for Klal Yisrael, on the other hand, it was done with a lot of planning. It wasn't planned properly, and they should have done even greater. Well, we'll see in a moment what the flaws were. But it wasn't the type of thing that was haphazard. It was actually, they gathered from all of Klal Yisrael, and they had these Shloshim Aleph, these 30,000. Vayokom, and he got up. That's a sign of, in other words, with Zrizus. In other words, he could have left out that word. Just say Vayelech David. David went with all the people. But Vayokom, it means he got up and he took this action that he wasn't afraid of the Plishtim, and he felt that this was the right time, and he's going to bring the Arun. Vayelech David, and David went, V'chol ha'am asher ito, all the people with him. And he's not referred to over here as the king. It just says David. Sometimes we'll see it says HaMelech David, sometimes it just says David. But in this episode, David treats himself as a commoner, as a regular person, as David. He's not the king, and we'll see in his dancing and his excitement over the Aron, in the presence of God, and he didn't act with nobility. He treated himself as a regular person, that everyone's equal and everyone's machnia, everyone's subservient to the Aron. Vayelech David, so David went to Chol Am Asher Ito, all the people with him, mi Baalei Yehuda, from the place called Baalei Yehuda. In Yehoshua, this is the city called Kiryas Ye'orim. In Divrei Yomim, it calls it Ba'alosa. But this was the place where the Aron was. The Aron had been captured by the Plishtim. We had at the very beginning of Shmuel Aleph. And then eventually it had been returned, and it was in this place, Kiryas Ye'orim. And now David HaMelech is going to bring it to Yerushalayim. So he all went Mibala Yehuda. Some learn it means V'chol Am Asher Ito, all the people with him, mi Baalei Yehuda, that a group came from Baalei Yehuda to David to inform David we're all ready to begin the ceremony and the festivities. They came from Baalei Yehuda to join David, and now together they're all going to go back to Baalei Yehuda and bring the Aron. Lahalos Misham, to bring up from there Es Aron Hu Elokim, the Aron of Hashem. In Sefer Yoshua, on Perek Gimel, it's called the Aron Hashem, Yudkei Vovkei, with the four-letter name of Hashem, which denotes Hashem's mercy and compassion. Elokim is the word that denotes Midas Hadin, the Hashem showing his judgment and and the law, and the, with a firmness of mishpat. And we'll see that over here with midas hadin, we'll see what happened. But he's bringing up the Aron HaElokim, asher nikro shem. This is the Aron on which the name was applied to this Aron. This was just not a regular Aron. This was the Aron that the name was called on it. The shame of Hashem Tzvokos, the name of Hashem Tzvokos. Tzvokos means a tzova, is an army, a host, a group of people, a group of things that work in formation with a, and they are controlled by a commander in chief, and everyone has their role and their function. Tzvokos means HaKadosh Baruch Hu has in Shemayim all the constellations and the planets and the stars, and everything goes in its path. Shalei Yishanu es Tafkidam. Everyone has their job and their place to fill. And down here, Hashem is Mashkiach as Tzvokos, that every nation and every person and everything has its place. And Hashem is going to show His control with this Aron HaElokim, with the Midas Hadin. But on the Aron was called the shame of Hashem Tzvokos, Yoshev HaKruvim, that Hashem rests on the Kruvim, Olav. That was on this Aron. People knew this was the Aron of Hashem Tzvokos, who resides on the Kruvim. That's what they, that's how they referred to this Aron. The Kruvim, I say at the beginning of these are things that we don't understand, but it says the Merkava, the Shekhinah, rests on the Kruvim, which has the face of a person. And the Malbim just points out, the Torah is reiterating that the Shekhinah rests on Kruvim, which is the face of a person. And when the Aron, down here on earth, when the Aron is being transported, it should be carried by people. We should try to be like Kruvim. We should be like that angelic faces, right? And the Kruvim, that's the way the Aron should be brought. Vayarkivu, but they didn't. Vayarkivu es Aron HaElokim. They brought the Aron, they caused it to ride El Agol HaChadosh in this new wagon. It was on the wagon, it was Vayarkivu, like somebody riding on top of something. And yet it was El Agol, it was put into a wagon, perhaps it was like a pickup truck, it had, well, not a flatbed, it was put into the wagon, it had sides to it, but it was open air. And this Aron was resting in this wagon. Vayisa Uhu. And they carried it. Mibes Avinodov Asher Bagiva, from the house of Avinodov in Giva, which is where the Aron was. V'uza v'achyo, b'nei Avinodov. Uza and Achyo, the sons of Avinodov, no agimus ha'agol ha'chadosha, they were the ones leading this new wagon. They took a new wagon, which was, if they're using a wagon, that's the way they figured is the right way to do it. The plishtim, after they captured the Aron, and they suffered all different types of hemorrhoids, and they suffered from rats, and we discussed their suffering at the beginning of Shmuel Aleph. But when they returned it, they put the Aron into a new wagon, and they attached calves that had never, weren't used to carrying or schlepping a load, weren't used to dragging a wagon, and the animals went on their own. They went back to Eretz Yisrael because they knew that's where the Aron should go. So Klai Yisrael, they took a new wagon. It stresses that twice. Vayarkivu es Aron HaElokim al Agol HaChadosha, and then they brought it in the Agol HaChadosha. But it was still a mistake. It's one of the areas that we can look back with hindsight, and we'll see what the mistake was. But there's a pasuk in the Torah, V'livnei kahoslo nason, that when the wagons were donated by the Nesiim, by the princes, it says the wagons were given to Merari and to Gershon, those families of Leviim, but Kahos was not given any wagons. Ki avodas hakodesh aleihem bakosef yiso, they were carrying the holy things of the Mishkan. They carried the Aron, they carried the menorah and the shulchan, and they were carrying the holiest items. They weren't given a wagon. They carried it. This is brought down in the Sefer HaChinuch and Mitzvah Shin Ayin Tes as a mitzvah that the Aron should be carried. As the Minchas Chinuch there points out, though, it's actually a very he remains with a tzarech iyun. It really requires study to understand this. They weren't given a wagon because they carried everything. But we know for sure in later generations there was no problem putting the menorah or the shulchan on the wagon. It was really the main problem was the aron should be carried. And the proof that we know the aron should be carried is because when Klal Yisrael crossed the Yarden, based on the psukim, Chazal learned out that the aron actually was carried and it lifted up those who were holding it. But they did not put the aron on a wagon. And we'll see by David, right now, it was not supposed to be placed on a wagon. And therefore, the halacha is the aron is not supposed to be put in a wagon. Of course, that's fine for us in hindsight. But we're the ones who are learning this perek, and we'll see what happens when you don't carry the aron. But the mitzvah of the Torah, that it should be carried, the mitzvah was they weren't given wagons because they carried the holy items, and yet we know the other things could be put on a wagon. It was the main thing was the aron, and it's really learnt out from this episode. So they put the aron, and the Malbim points out six mistakes that were done at this point. First of all, Vayarkivu Asarono Elohim El Agola Chadasha. They put it in a wagon. And it could be the wagon was brought from Beis Avinodav Asher Bagiva. It wasn't brought with, it was his personal wagon. It was a new one, but they should not have been putting it in a wagon. It should have been carried. The second point the Pasuk stresses is Uzan Achyo, the sons of Avinodav, were leading this wagon. They should have learned from the Plishtim. The Plishtim put the wagon in, or put the Aron in the wagon, and it went by itself. With these things, it's hard to know, unless, you know, you learn the Pasuk, how they were supposed to know. Is that considered a greater honor to lead the wagon, or is it considered a lack of honor? They should have learned the lesson from the Plishtim that it was not considered proper for them to lead the wagon. That the wagon, there should be such an awe and such a fear and such a dread that this is the shame Hashem Tzvokos Yoshev HaKruvim. To have that proper realization of just what we have here. They shouldn't feel that they have to lead the wagon. It's almost, I think it's like, you know, if a person's capable of doing something and you help him out, sometimes he feels like you're slighting him, like... For them to lead the Agola is almost an insult. In other words, the Agola goes by itself, we know by the Plishtim. The Agola can go by itself. So they should not have put it in a wagon, and they should not have been leading the wagon. Why do they know Akimesu Agola Chadosha? They're leading this new wagon. Vaisa Uhu, and they lifted it. Mibes, they brought it up. Mibes Avinodov Asher Bagiva. From the house of Avinodav that was in Giva, Im Aron Hu Elokim, with the Aron Elokim. If the Aron would be carried, it should be carried by the Levim. In fact, there's a discussion because there are cases, some machloikas of the Ramban and the Rambam, exactly who's supposed to carry the Aron, the Kohanim or the Levim, because there are later points, like and. There are other places in Tanakh where it says the Kohanim were the ones to carry it. But it certainly should be either the Kohanim or the Levim. And Uzzah and Achyo were neither. Uzzah and Achyo are the ones carrying the are the ones who are leading the wagon. So they're not the ones. The Levim and the Kohanim, Shevet Levi, are the ones to be in charge. Now, some learn that they did lift it up. Vayisa Uhu, they carried the Aron, Mibes Avinodav Asher Bagiva, from the house of Avinodav Asher Bagiva. They lifted this with the Aron. And there, they carried it and put it in the wagon. In other words, the initial bringing it from the house was carried, and then they put it in a wagon. But the carrying should be done by Kohanim and Levim. It says they carried it, Im Aron Hu Elokim, with the Aron. With the Aron could be, it's an allusion, it's referring to the box. The Plishtim sent a box with gold statuettes and gold presents for Klal Yisrael, for HaKadosh Baruch Hu, acknowledging that that Hashem, this is the Aron of Hashem. There was a box that the Plishtim sent with their present. That was always kept with the Aron, and it was brought Im Aron Hu Elokim. But for what we're learning here, the Malbim says Im Aron Hu Elokim was another fault. They lifted it with the Aron itself. And the Aron had poles. And they should have used the poles to hold the Aron, not to touch the Aron itself. Which, incidentally, we have a similar type of concept when somebody gets an aliyah or whatever. In terms of the Torah, we don't touch the actual parchment, the cloth. You hold the Atzei Chaim, the wooden poles. You don't touch the actual parchment. But here they carried the Aron, and they did it Im Aron Elokim, with holding the Aron, holding the box, holding the Aron itself. Ve'achyo holech lifnei ha'aron. And Achyo was walking in front of the Aron. If he's walking in front of the Aron, that means his back is toward the Aron. That's another fault. V'David v'chol beis Yisrael. David and all of Klal Yisrael. Now, there was a tremendous multitude of people. He used the expression, all of Klal Yisrael were there. Now, people came from all over the country. It's hard to imagine such a throngs of hundreds of thousands of people. It was David and Kol Beis Yisrael. Nesachakim lifnei Hashem. On one hand, there was an awareness that they were lifnei Hashem. There was a Shivisi Hashem lifnei the Negdi Summit. They did picture that Hashem was. They knew they were doing this in front of Hashem. On the other hand, it was misachakim. From the word like schok is like laughter, like frivolity, like a lightheadedness. There was such a joy and such an excitement that they're bringing the Aron to Yerushalayim. It somehow was lacking a certain awe. What's necessary is that gilu bira oda, sometimes to have a tremendous joy, rejoicing, but with a touch of fear, and the person has to realize why he's rejoicing with. And here was Nesachakim. It was in a light-headed type of frivolity, the Mephoshim say, Lifnei Hashem, before Hashem. B'chol Atzei Broshim. With all types of Atzei Broshim. Brosh is a type of cedar wood. But with all these types of wood, some learned they used the wood for other things, like you find by Simchas Beis HaShoeva, there were Chacham and Rabbi Gamliel used to juggle 8 torches. So it could be they used Atzei Baroshim, these wood, as part of the merriment and part of the Simcha. And the simple meaning is B'chol Atzei Baroshim is the general term for their instruments. And then the Pasuk lists what they used. Uvechinoros, they had harps. Uvinivolin is a different stringed instrument, lyre, they call it. It's a string instrument. Uvisupim, it would like drums. Uviminanim, they translate it as timbrels. Nanim comes from the word minaneas, to shake, because it's the type of instrument that you have to shake to make noise. Right? You don't shake a flute or a harp. But this you have to shake, or it could be in general, the person playing it moves his body in beat with the rhythm. It's the type of instrument that minanim, people move themselves. Over tzeltzelim, with cymbals. So they had all these different types of instruments. Which again, it's hard to know what would be, they were expected to know. When we look at that pasuk, we think that this is beautiful, the way they assembled all this. It must have sounded like an orchestra, a tremendous symphonic music. But it was held as a fault, because they're in front of the Aron. They should have limited themselves to the type of instruments, the type of music that was in like the Beis HaMikdash. Like a chatzotros or a shofar, which we'll see later on, that was what they used. They used the true of a kol shofar later on. But at this point, they used all different types of instruments. They used all types of instruments, and that was considered a slight to the kavod, the honor of the Aron. So we have many things that were listed in these, alluded to in these psukim. The fact that they didn't carry it, it wasn't done by Levium, it was, they led the Aron as if the Aron couldn't go on its own. They carried the Aron itself, they didn't use the poles. Achia was walking in front of the Aron with his like back to it. And the fact that they were misachaking, the merriment with all these instruments was considered also not proper. Vayavo ad Goren Nochon. They came to the place Goren Nochon. In Divrei Hayomim, this is called Goren Kidon. Kidon means a tragedy. Kidon can also mean a spear, a weapon. Nochon means something to be established, to be firm, to be secure. Because this place where they brought the Aron, we'll see at the beginning, was a tragedy. We're going to see Uzzah dies. It begins as a tragedy. But eventually, the Aron is left there and it's going to bring a tremendous, tremendous bracha to the house of Oved Edom Hagiti. We'll see later on. The Aron was left at a house and it brought a tremendous blessing. It was Nochon. It established the house as a with a blessing. Vayvo ad Goren Nochon. They came to this place. Vayishlach Uzzah. Uzzah sent out El Aron Hoelokim. He sent out his hand to the Aron of Hashem. Vayochez bo, and he held it. He grabbed it. Kishamtu habakar. The cattle slipped and they dislodged the Aron. And it looked like the Aron was going to topple over and fall off of the wagon. Some learn Goren Nochon. Goren is a threshing place where you step on the wheat and you break it up to separate the kernels from the chaff. But they came to this Goren. Goren Nochon means it was a proper Goren. Meaning don't think that they still had a bunch of the straw and the stubble on the ground and it was slippery. But it was all cleared away, and it was a flat, level surface where it should have been smooth. Perhaps the thought was that's a good place for dancing, and that's a good place. They brought the Aron to this place, but certainly it wasn't expected that the cattle should slip. But as a punishment for what's been transpiring, the following happened. The cattle slipped, they dislodged the Aron, and it looked like the Aron was going to fall. So Uzzah stuck out his hand and he grabbed it. Vayuchad boy grabbed the Aron kishamtu habakar because the cattle were dislodging it. The Aron was about to fall. Vayichar af Hashem beUzzah. The anger of Hashem was against Uzzah. Vayakehu sham hoelokim al hashal. And over there Hashem struck him al hashal, because of this mistake. On one hand, it was vayichar af Hashem. Hashem, again, is midas harachamim. There was a fault in the whole approach of Klal Yisrael to this event. But Hashem had rachamim on Klal Yisrael. And there was only one person who got punished. But even that one person, you should know, was vakeyu shamho elokim. It was with midas hadin. It was the type of thing that the fault is not as great from our perspective. And what Hashem would ask from us, perhaps it would not be considered a fault. If somebody were to see the Aron falling, what's the alternative? To just leave it? It looks like it's going to fall. It looks like it's going to fall. But it happens to be a terrible mistake. Uzzah should have left it knowing that the Aron doesn't fall. But what he did was, and it was in a moment, of haste. The second when it looks like it's going to fall, he just quickly stuck out his hand and grabbed it. But there was a mistake here. And as Rashi brings down, he should have made a kal v'chomer. Meaning he should have had the following logic. We know that the Aron carries those who hold it. When they crossed over the Yarden, based on the Pesukim, the Chachamim learned that they were standing, all of Klal Yisrael crossed over to the west bank, the west side. The Aron was still on the east, on the other side of the Yarden. and it lifted up those that were holding on and carried them over. This was an event that happened hundreds of years earlier. But it happened, and they should have known it. And it should have been as much of a part, it's hard for us to imagine their madrega and what was expected of them. But it should have been such a part of their being, and such a part of their knowledge. When they learned those psukim in Sefer Yoshua, it should have affected their reflex. That if somebody sees the Aron looking like it's going to fall, it's like, it's totally beyond his mindset. They're like, no, Havamin, of course you don't grab the Aron. Why, the Aron needs you to hold on to it? Of course it's not going to fall. And he had this reflex that the Aron is falling, and he stuck out his hand. And that was his fatal mistake. Vayamos Sham Imaron Elokim. He died there together with the Aron of Hashem. Again, the Aron Elokim, Midas Hadin. Chazal learned out that his in Olam Haba, the very fact that it says he died with the Aron, in other words, he left this world together with the Aron. He was obviously the one chosen. In other words, the celebration was not being done properly. And he's the one who made this mistake. And therefore, all of Klal Yisrael didn't suffer, but Uz is the one who took the punishment. Imaron Ho'elokim. The Gemara says in Saita, on Daf Lamed Hey. The Gemara says on Daf in Saita, Mipnei ma nenash David. Why was David punished? This is considered a punishment for David. As the next few words say, Vayichar leDavid, David was very upset because he took it as a message to him. He was the one who was orchestrating this whole celebration. It was his decision to immediately, after you capture Yerushalayim, bring up the Aron, which was a good decision. And yet, he took it as a punishment that the celebration was ruined in tragedy. Why was David punished? Mivnei shekara ledivrei Torah zemiros. Because he called divrei Torah zemiros, like a song. Shenemar zemiros hayu lichukecha beveis meguroi. The pasuk in Tehillim, your divrei Torah were like a song to me, the beis meguroi, in the house where I dwelled, wherever I went, it was like a song to me. But listen to Rashi again. It's the faults of David and these gedolim. We have to work on reaching a madrega of being at the point of their faults, and then you can think about trying to reach higher. But listen to the way Rashi explains it. Nenash David. Why? Zmiros ha'ili chukecha beveis meguroi. Kishayisi boreach mipnei oivai. When I was fleeing from my enemies. Va'ogur mipneim. And I was scared. I was frightened from them. Ha'yisi mishtashea b'chukecha. I took a delight in your chukim, in the laws of the Torah. V'ho'yuli lizmiros. It was like a song for me. L'shasheni, to give me delight. I went through the most difficult points in my life, on the run, being chased and pursued. And I was able to find solace and to comfort and to find delight in the words of Torah. So David said, your Torah is to me like a song. Amalo HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So Hashem said to David, Divrei Torah shekosu bohen. Divrei Torah that it says about, Hasoi feinecha bo. If somebody doubles over his eyes, he like dozes off. Veinenu, it's gone. It's a scary. It's always a bit of a depressing thought. But as much as a person learns, if he starts slackening off and he gets lazy about it, the Torah disappears. It's he closes his eyes, the Torah is gone. So you see how severe it is. As Rashi says, Hesach Hadas, if a person stops thinking about Torah, it's gone. Ata Kori Yosan's Miros, you call it a song. Torah is a song? Torah is so important, so critical. Your person has to be focused on it. It's a song? Hareini Machshilcha B'Dover Shafilu Tznoko Shabbos Rabban Yodin Moso. I'm going to cause you to make a mistake in something that even the little children know. Dechsiv Livnei Kos Lo Nosan Ki Avodas HaKodesh V'Goymer. Kohos was not given a wagon because they were told to carry the Aron. Everyone knows that. All the children learn that pasuk in Chumash, and they all know you have to carry the Aron, you don't put it in a wagon. Because you said that pasuk, Zemiros Hayelichu Kecha, I'm going to cause you to be nichshol, to stumble in this area. And he brought it using a wagon. Again, that's obviously it's a pasuk in Tehillim, and I assume that the meaning is that there is a time and a place and a point in having the Torah be your delight in the most difficult things. But for David HaMelech, it was considered not proper. And therefore, because he said Zemiros Hayelichu Kecha, he experienced this tragedy. Vayichar leDavid. So now David was very upset. But the Malbim points out, the previous pasuk said Vayichar Af. When it says Vayichar Af, the anger of David was burning, or it doesn't say it. There it says Vayichar Af Hashem. Vayichar Af means when you show your anger to others, and you're angry at others. And Vayichar Af Hashem means Hashem was angry Be'uzah with Uzah. Here it doesn't say Vayichar Af David. It was Vayichar LeDavid. David was angry. But he was angry at himself. It wasn't to others. Again, he took the blame and he realized that he did wrong. But Al Asher Paratz Hashem Peretz Be'uzah. He saw that HaKadosh Baruch Hu did a peretz, he did a breach, he broke through Uzzah, and Uzzah fell as a casualty. And he was upset because the fact that Hashem caused Uzzah to die, and he's to blame. Vayikra l'mokom ahu peretz Uzzah. He called the name of that place Peretz Uzzah, Ad Hayom Hazeh, and that was the name that remained till the Novi is written, till today. Which shows you also the greatness of David. This was a name. David decided, we're going to call the name of this place Peretz Uzzah. That it should be a lesson to Klal Yisrael, that when you're transporting the Aron, and when you're dealing with the Aron, and rejoicing with the Aron, it has to be done in the proper manner. Now, of course, if that name was known as Peretz Uzzah, anybody who comes and says, Peretz Uzzah? Why is the place called Peretz Uzzah? Of course, that evokes the memories of what happened, and they remember the mistake of David. Because again, David took responsibility for whatever happened. So David named the name of a place, which was going to be an embarrassment and a disgrace for him, because it was important for Klal Yisrael to take that lesson, and the lesson shouldn't be forgotten. So he named the place Peretz Uzzah, and that was the name that remained. It doesn't say how the people reacted. It doesn't, I guess that's not important for us to know. But the lesson of what happens when somebody doesn't treat the Aron with the proper kavod, and the way David dealt with the Inyan, is what we're learning here in these psukim. Vayira David es Hashem bayomahu. David feared Hashem on that day. Vayomer, and he said, Eich yovo elai Aron Hashem. How could the Aron come to me? The Aron Hashem, again with Midas HaRachamim, even if this was an unusual case and it was the Aron Elohim, but even if the Birachamim, the Aron Hashem, and there won't be a tragedy. But he took that lesson. When you're dealing with the Aron, it requires a certain amount of awe. Am I on that madrega to have the Aron come with me? Even if it will be the Aron Hashem, it will be Rachamim, and nobody will again suffer. But I'm not on that Madrega. Some learn that David HaMelech felt a sense of Yiras Hashem on that day, that his Avoida was normally with Avas Hashem, and with Simcha. And there are many different types of feelings and emotions and thoughts that a person is supposed to have when he does a mitzvah. This is the joy and the excitement and the love for Hashem and the fear of Hashem. To do a mitzvah in its optimum form. Incidentally, when the Mishnah says Ratzah Kadosh Baruch Hu Zakus Es Yisrael, Lefichach Hirbal Hem Torah Mitzvahs, that Hashem wanted to give merit to Klal Yisrael, and therefore He gave them many Torah Mitzvahs. I believe it's the Rambam learns, the meaning is that a person should one time in his life do one mitzvah with perfection. And for some people it might be this mitzvah, and for some people it might be a different mitzvah. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu increased many, many mitzvahs. And of course we keep them all. And we try to do our best in every area. But there is, every Jew is going to, in some area, at some point in life, do a mitzvah without any ulterior motives, just because this is what Hashem wants him to do, with a proper frame of mind. And he'll have that experience, and that will provide him, that's his ticket to Olam Haba and to all the greatness. And of course, this is reward for the other mitzvahs, but he needs the one, that one time with perfection. And David HaMelech felt that he had the madrega of Avas Hashem. And of course there was Yira, but his dominant feeling was Avas Hashem and Simcha in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and that, and serving Hashem in that manner is greater than serving from fear. And now David HaMelech just had a feeling of, he felt his relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu was one of fear. He didn't feel the love for Hashem. He felt a dread and an awe and a fear. He felt on that day, he wasn't on the Madrega. The lesson had to be learned, but he felt an overwhelming yira of fear, and therefore he felt he couldn't bring the Arum. And it was by Yom Ahu on that day. Again, the normal tendency of a regular person would probably be, there's such a crowd, all of Klal Yisrael is here. All of Klal Yisrael is here. There was a tragedy. Uzzah will be buried and quietly sidelined, and not to distract the, this is a major occasion, just to call off the celebration and to highlight the failure, nor as if he's not going to do anything today, he's just going to tell everybody, okay, go home, we're not bringing the Aron to Yerushalayim. It's, we failed. And this is the first, this is like the first step David's doing on his own since uniting all of Klal Yisrael under his kingship. But Vayira David as Hashem Bayomahu was on that day, the day that was so significant when all of Klal Yisrael was there. But he felt this fear of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and therefore he stopped. He didn't say, okay, we'll put the Aron on the shoulders of the Levium and let the Levium carry it, and we'll do it correctly, and let the show go on. Let's continue. No, he stopped. V'lo ova David, l'hosirei lovas Aron Hashem. David didn't want to turn to him the Aron Hashem, al ir David, to bring it to the city of David. Vayatehu David. Instead, David turned the Aron, based Oved Edom Hagiti, to the house of Oved Edom Hagiti. He was called that name. His name was Oved because he's someone who served Hashem. Edom, Chazal say, he was called that because what happened to him is going to cause David to be red-faced, to be shamed. David was afraid to bring the Aron. Oved Edom Hagiti took the Aron, and we'll see he got a tremendous bracha, tremendous blessing. So it was almost that was also an embarrassment for David. He was afraid to take the Aron, and take a look. Oved Edom Hagiti took the Aron, and he had such success. And Hagiti, he lived in Gath. But in Divrei Hayomim, Perek Tesvav, Pasuk Yud Ches, it says clearly that Oved Edom Hagiti was one of the Levium. He was from the Shoarim, as Rashi brings down. He was from the, his family was in charge of opening and closing the gates of the Beis HaMikdash. He was a guard by the gates from the Shoarim. So David brought the Aron to the base Oved Edom Hagiti. Vayeshev Aron Hashem beis Oved Edom Hagiti. The Aron of Hashem remained in the house of Oved Edom Hagiti shlosha chadashim for 3 months. Vayivarech Hashem es Oved Edom es kol beiso. Hashem blessed Oved Edom and his whole house. Chazal say there are different things that people look at negatively because it brought about tragedy, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted to show that it's not the item, it's people's averus. For instance, the Ketores. We know not of an Aviyu brought Vayakrivu Eish Zoro Lifnei Hashem. They brought a strange fire. The different explanations exactly what they did wrong. But not of an Aviyu brought some type of fire before Hashem and they were killed. They brought Ketiris, and as a result they ended up being dying. By Koirach, V'chol Adosai, the leaders took 250 of the men, took Ketiris and the pan to show that perhaps they should be the leaders, and they ended up also dying. There was a king, we'll learn about later, Uzio, and he was decided, he was a king, he wanted to do the Avoda, he brought the Ketiris, and he got Tsaras, he got leprosy. So the Ketiris seems at some point to have brought tragedy. So after the incident with Koirach, there was a plague and the people were dying. Aaron took Ketiris and he put it in the pan. And Aaron, with the Ketiris, stopped the plague. To show Ketiris stops the plague also. It's not the question of the Ketiris and not the Ketiris. If you do the right thing and you do the Ratzon Hashem, the Ketiris will bring you blessing. The same idea with the Aaron. The Aaron, when the Plishtim captured it, the Plishtim suffered with a lot of plagues and suffering. And then when the people in Beis Shemesh went back to Klal Yisrael, and the people had the Aron with them, they treated it with a lack of respect, and they also, a lot of Klal Yisrael died in Beis Shemesh. And now we just had Uzzah, they were bringing the Aron to Yerushalayim, and Uzzah died. People have the feeling like they don't want to have the Aron with them, it's too dangerous. It only brings calamity. So over here, our Kaddish Baruch Hu showed the base Oved Edom Hagiti. They brought the Aron, and Hashem gave them a tremendous bracha. Vayivarach Hashem es Oved Edom es kol beiso. Hashem blessed Oved Edom and his whole household. Chazal say he had eight sons. Oved Edom Hagiti had eight sons. His wife and his eight daughters-in-law all gave birth, and they all had six children. It was Shisha Bekeres Echad. Six were born at one time. So you can imagine how many that's not. It's 54 children. And then if you count his own eight children, that means he had all of a sudden 62 sons and grandchildren. All of a sudden his house expanded tremendously, his family. Hashem gave this tremendous bracha. By you God, the Melech David, it was told to the King David, Lamor saying, in other words, here it's stressed, La Melech. We didn't have this before. By you God, La Melech David. Because people are going to tell David about this blessing that came with the Aron. Because David is the one who's the king. And the king has a job to build the Beis HaMikdash, and to bring the Aron is going to be brought there. And even though we'll see David wasn't able to build the Beis HaMikdash, but this is all part of it, bringing the Aron to Yerushalayim. This is a job for the king. This is one of the responsibilities. So by you God, La Melech David, was told to the King David, Lamor, saying, meaning it's stressing this was such a well-known miracle, the word spread and it was told to him that Beirach Hashem is Beis Oved Edom. Hashem blessed the household of Oved Edom. Beis Kol Asherlo and all that he had. Ba'avur Aron Elokim, because of the Aron. That having the Aron in his house brought him tremendous, tremendous bracha. The Gemara says in Brachas, when the Chachamim came to Kerem B'Yavne, this was after the Churban, the Chachamim came to Kerem B'Yavne, and obviously there must have been people who brought them in and provided their needs, and the fact that the yeshiva continued in Yavne. So the Chachamim began their discussion, and everybody was praising the people who had made Kerem B'Yavne the yeshiva that it was. And the Gemara brings down at the bottom of Samach Gimel Amid Beis, Pasuk Rav Eliezer, the son of Rav Yosi Aglili, and he darshan like this. Vayivarech Hashem es Oved Edom Bavur Aron Hu Elokim. Hashem blessed the Aron because the Aron was blessed Oved Edom because the Aron was with him. Valo Devorim Kal V'Chaymer. From here you can take a tremendous lesson. Uma Aron Shlo Ochal V'Shosa. The Aron doesn't eat. and the Aron doesn't drink. Ela kiveit v'riveit slafonov. What did Oved Edom do already? He had the Aron in his house, and he made sure to sweep in front of it, and to spritz water or wine so that the dust should be settled, it should be look nice in front of the Aron. He took care of it. But it doesn't require much maintenance and much care. The Aron sits by itself. Kach! And yet he got such a tremendous bracha. Hama'areach Talmud Chacham b'soch beso. If somebody has a guest, a Talmud Chacham in his house, umachilo mashkeu, which is more difficult. He has to give him to eat, and he gives him to drink. Umahaneu minachosav, and he allows the Talmud Chacham to have benefit from his possessions. Alachas kama v'kama. You can imagine what type of a bracha he deserves, and what type of a bracha he'll get. So David heard of this tremendous bracha. Now in Divrei Hayomim, it doesn't mention it here, but in Divrei Hayomim it mentions the actual sequence of events was slightly different. First of all, at this point is when the Plishtim had actually attacked and David defeated the Plishtim. At this point was Hiram, the king of Tzor, had sent messengers. He wanted to build a palace for David, which were events that we mentioned here in Shmuel. They were mentioned earlier because now we wanted to focus without being interrupted. We're focusing on bringing the Aron to Yerushalayim. But you should know, at this point, there were actually other events that happened. It says, David HaMelech sent messengers with Klal Yisrael, and he had the Kohanim and the Levim be Makadish themselves. They sanctified themselves, and they prepared different Mishmaros and the different groups of the Kohanim and Levim, that it should be done in a proper manner. This is as 3 months later. Now, 3 months the Aron was by Oved Edom Hagiti. Now, Vayelech David went. Vayalas Aron Elokim, and he brought up the Aron, Mibes Oved Edom, from the house of Oved Edom, Ir David, and he brought it to the city of David, the Simcha. Not like the word we had before, Misachakim, with a light-hearted frivolity. But b'simcha, with true joy, with the joy of being aware that they have the zechus to bring the Aron of Hashem to Ir David. For sponsorship opportunities, please call 718-436-3024. Thank you.